Welcome to Sunday Morning, a news and public affairs programming service of Cox Media Group. I'm Mimi Lawson, your host. I've got Derek Lucas with me. You're a family attorney. Are you in Central Florida still? Are you in the Orlando area?
Not in the Orlando area, but I am over in the West Coast, the Tampa area.
I see. Okay. Right here in our backyard.
Your backyard, yeah. Hopefully you guys will come visit us.
I know. I want to talk about this. I've not been through a divorce in my life, thank goodness. Knock on wood on that one, yes. But I see what it does to other families and to other couples. And I got some information about a thing that I'd never heard of. It's called collaborative divorce. We're going to talk about that this morning. But first of all, let's give some background on you. How did you come to be a part of this group?
Well, Mimi, I actually had an experience in litigation where I had a perceived win from both my side of things and my client's side of things. And as we were walking out of the courtroom, my client, who happened to be a gentleman and was a contractor, a very manly man, if you will, almost fell out. He started tearing up. I got him over to a bench and was like, is it just emotion? What's going on? And he admitted that the whole thing has destroyed his family. He just did not appreciate anything, even though, as I said, we had a perceived win in the courtroom.
Right.
Didn't appreciate anything that had happened with the family as far as the process was concerned. So that was back in 2009. And from then forward, I started looking for alternative dispute resolution methods that could help families that were in need and came across collaborative divorce.
And what is a collaborative divorce as opposed to just a downright dirty dogfight?
Well, collaborative says it all. You're working with a collaborative team. Generally, in our area, what we do is we have an attorney for both parties, and then we determine a mental health facilitator. We call them a collaborative facilitator, but it's generally a mental health professional and a financial professional to come in as a collaborative team and to work through the divorce issues and to help this family get through the divorce in a out-of-court resolution method that really is aimed to keeping them intact as a family unit, even when the divorce or the marriage has to end.
I was just looking at something. Do you make people agree to certain things, like to not go to court, for example?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. There's a participation agreement that actually begins the whole process. Mm-hmm. And once the parties enter into that participation agreement, the main gist of that agreement says that we will work through our issues and not go to court. And if they do go to court, one of the little gotchas or catches, if you will, is that those collaborative attorneys that you've been working with can no longer represent you in a litigated or judicial matter.
I see.
So they do have to let the attorneys go if they're going to proceed on to court after the participation agreement signed.
Well, I saw that the second thing you have to agree to is to be open and honest. Isn't that like totally opposite of what most people do when they're going through a divorce? To be open and honest. So that's unusual.
Yeah, it is a little different than most people in imagine a courtroom or a preparing for court setting. You want to try and keep some things private.
Right.
You obviously have to share some information, but you don't want to say everything. In the collaborative process and in the collaborative meetings that you have, you do want to share those things. You need to be open and honest so that we can get to a resolution that is going to work for your family. So there is a little bit of trust that comes into the process, but you are working with trained professionals that can pick up when maybe something needs to be investigated a little further.
If I know that there are some families who just decide that things are not working out in the marriage and they're good people and they don't want to hurt their kids and they do the best that they can to make sure that their kids are taken care of through this process and to remain friends, are those the people that you're seeing coming in, or do they become those people once they get with your resources?
That's a great question. One of the things that you hear in family law is, in family law, you see very good people at their very worst.
Right.
And in criminal law, you see very bad people at their very best. And it's so true.
Right.
We have people that understand that the marriage may end, but that there's a family there that still needs to be intact. And they are very good at coming in and working with us. But then we have people, one of the best cases that I was involved in started as a litigated case. I became the attorney, the second attorney on the case, and was able to convince my client, who was pretty determined to go to trial, that wasn't the best move for him or his family, that mm-hmm. we should look at the collaborative process and take a look at it. Now, we unfortunately didn't go through a full collaborative process, but we did get it out of court, and we were able to resolve it and keep the family intact. One of the things that I never caught on to in the litigated side of family law was that it's an adversarial process, and you do have to present different sides. But then you tell the court tells the families at the end of the process, now go work together, go co-parent, and get back on the same team.
Right.
That's almost impossible for anyone to do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're throwing around all kinds of mean things to say, and you're smearing the person's name. It's kind of hard. You know, like they say, be careful what you say. You can't unsay it. That at that right. point, there's a lot of anger that's left over.
Absolutely. Anger, all the emotions, really. There's fear, the fear of the unknown, fear of how long-term marriages end, what is going to come next.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we do try to take in as far as moving forward in the collaborative process are those things. And I can guarantee you, those things aren't looked at inside the courthouse.
No.
The judge hears evidence, and he hears, and when we have great judges in the family bench, and we have very good attorneys in family law, but we do have some attorneys that are just litigation attorneys, and you go to visit them, and they're going to push you down a litigation route because that's what they know and that's what they understand.
Right.
But fortunately, we have passed the Collaborative Law Process Act here in Florida earlier this year, in fact, in March. So now it is on the books as a law, so it's there and it's available. So hopefully that'll get some of the word out there to people that don't know as well.
Well, tell us what the law really says.
What it really does is it gives a process for which the procedure can go forward, basically. It's a way for professionals that have not worked in collaborative to kind of get an understanding of what the collaborative process does. Unfortunately, people that don't know on both sides, lay people or professionals in the process, if you don't know something, you don't know something.
Right.
So this allows the professional as well as the people that are facing divorce or paternity a way to understand what the collaborative law process is before they even get into it. And knowing that it's now passed as a law in our state as well as 14 other states, or we became the 14th state.
I see.
I think that gives it some credibility, too, that it is something that it can work. It can help your divorce, not
right.
end destroying your family.
Right. So the collaborative law says basically that is it just holding people accountable for what they agree to in a collaborative divorce? Is that basically what the law was for?
No, not really. I mean, it does to some degree, but I think what the law did is it created a uniform system for the practice of collaborative law.
Okay.
It kind of described to families and to professionals what the whole collaborative law process was as far as providing a a non-adversarial process for people to work out those issues that come up in divorce without having to take it to court and having to go through the financial toll of litigation.
I guess what I was asking is if you come to an agreement on your own, is now that this law has been passed, it is just as good as having gone through litigation. I guess my question was, happening? Is that what's happening is that these agreements people were coming to before were not being able to be held up in a court of law after they were done?
No, agreements that parties reach are basically what it does is it provides a way for those people that would come to those agreements to work with a professional group that has gone through the process and can help them perhaps reach better agreements than the agreements that they had. But parties that are able to sit down at a kitchen table and write up an agreement and sign off on it, and it covers all the issues that they need to cover, those are always something that can be filed with the court, submitted and approved as an order.
That's not a big problem then.
Fortunately, and it's not, but it can be.
Right.
It's one of those things where I change my own oil, but I'm not going to do it with my transmission.
Right.
It's easy to come up with an agreement, but if you don't have it in the right format or you don't take the right steps, anyone that is married with children and a few years into that marriage probably is going to do better off with a little bit of help getting that agreement made.
And that's what you're there for. It's called Next Generation Divorce. Is that a place that you actually go and get all these resources? Is it an actual brick and mortar building?
It's not a brick and mortar building. However, all of our members have brick and mortar buildings or at least places to meet with folks. What Next Generation Divorce is, it's a collaborative group of professionals, attorneys. We have financial professionals and, as we call them, collaborative facilitators who generally have a mental health background, are professionals in mental health. Next Generation Divorce is a group of collaborative professionals. As I said, we don't have our own brick and mortar building as Next Generation Divorce, but all of the professionals work out of offices and can meet with their clients. We have attorneys, we have mental health professionals who we refer to as collaborative facilitators, and then we also have financial professionals. And then those parties that would come to our website or reach out to one of our members, we would provide the resources to them both on the website that we maintain, as well as the individual professional that they're working with would be able to provide them information, both from Next Generation Divorce as well as from the International Academy of Collaborative Professionals, IACP, which is the international group.
Oh, I see. Like I said, I've never been through a divorce, so not needing
That's
this.
A good thing.
Yeah, not realizing that there is such a thing called collaborative divorce. I mean, I knew there were bad divorces and worse divorces, but I didn't understand that there were actually people out there trying to take the families into consideration and have that really be your mission.
And that's it, exactly. Exactly. It's trying to save the family, whether the family is just the parties and a child or the parties themselves or the parties and 10 kids. Family's a family, and divorce may have to happen, but the family doesn't have to be destroyed. We're fortunate enough that in the 90s in Minnesota, Stu Webb came up with the idea of doing it this way, and it has caught on, but it's only been around since the 90s. So it's not hard to believe that you haven't heard of it. And that's one of the things that we want to make sure that the public is aware of, that there is options to the traditional litigated divorce that you see on TV and you hear all the horror stories about.
Right.
There actually are some attorneys and there is a lot of attorneys out there that can help you avoid some of those pitfalls that litigation provides.
I'm wondering if there isn't one person in a couple who wants to have a collaborative divorce and the other one who doesn't, if there is some way to bring that person over to your side. I guess that's why I was saying, do you see people who come in there that don't want to do this that end up walking out in a much better situation? Can you talk people over to the other side? Has that happened?
We definitely try to. And I think one of the situation you just brought up where one of the spouses is very much interested in going the collaborative route and the other spouse just isn't convinced, we certainly would direct them to nextgenerationdivorce.com for resources that we have on our website. But we would also provide information of other professionals that are collaboratively trained that they can go and sit down and talk to so that they get an understanding of what the process is and what the professionals involved in the process are actually there to try and do to help that family get through this tangled web that we call divorce.
Yeah, and it sounds like a great idea because, as you say, and I've seen this with friends of mine too, it's the kids that really end up being the ones that suffer the most.
It really is. It's sad to say. And fortunately, most of my litigation career happened prior to me having kids. I'm now the proud father of two twins that are going to be a year old this next week.
And, well, good
and,
for you.
I have an older brother and sister. So
awesome.
Father of four here. But it does. You want to keep the family together. You want to try and make sure that they understand their parents love them no matter what the relationship between mom and dad may turn out to be. Mm-hmm. They still love the kids. I've never seen a situation where there's been a love loss towards the kids. Obviously,
right.
Mom and dad might lose some love for each other.
Right.
But they do. They love their kids, and they want to maintain a good relationship with them. One of the things that we say in collaborative divorce with our clients is we want you to be able to sit at your children's wedding or their graduation or whatever big event it might be together.
Right.
Have them look out and see, hey, mom and dad, they're still there, even if they're not married.
Right.
And that's doable. That's doable.
And I think there are a lot of people who are mad, and maybe they're mad, they're angry, they're hurt, they're scared, as you said. But maybe just hearing that the idea that this kind of help could be out there, maybe this morning gives them an idea that they can get through this if they can get to you and get a hold of some of these resources.
Absolutely. I would hope that they have those resources available to them from wherever they're listening to this in Florida. I know the Florida Academy of Collaborative Professionals is the main Florida group here. Next Generation Divorce is our practice group in Tampa. So there's other practice groups throughout Orlando, Central Florida, North and South Florida that mm-hmm. can help. And if they reach out, I'm sure they're going to find a happy face on the other end of the phone and be able to answer some of those questions at a time where they need to get those answers. It's not a fun time to go through. Nobody has ever come in and said, you know, this divorce thing is a lot of fun. but a lot of people have come in and told me how bad it really hurts.
Right.
So we try and make that a little easier. And now if people do have questions and they can reach out not only to collaborative professionals, but they can just go to the news now because there is a lot of information with Florida passing the Collaborative Law Process Act out there now. So that's been a big boost for getting the word out there. But anything that I think the professionals can do that helps raise awareness in the communities, because it's about our community. It's about making sure that families are still together, even if marriages aren't able to last through whatever it might be that they're facing.
Give us all of those resources, your website, maybe some phone numbers if you have them.
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to. The main resource that we have is nextgenerationdivorce.com. So that's www.nextgenerationdivorce.com. We have individual professionals able to be searched based on your area or your need. If you need to speak with an attorney or a financial professional or a mental health professional, you can just go to the website, look up those professionals under the professionals tab, and then you can type in your zip code or, as I said, look by professional as far as who you need. With our group, it is a membership situation, so we have requests for information if you want to put in, but no phone numbers other than the individual professionals who are members of our group.
I appreciate this. I think this is a great way to look at this. I mean, in a bad situation, you're trying to make the best of it, and I wish you guys luck. Congratulations on getting that bill passed a couple months ago.
Yeah, that was a big boost. That was a lot of help. And thank you for taking the time to learn a little bit and helping us share the word and get some information out there to the public.
Glad to have you. Derek Lucas has been our guest this morning on Sunday Morning. What is your actual title?
I'm an attorney. And I'm also a Supreme Court certified mediator.
Awesome.
But with Next Generation Divorce, I am the co-chairperson this year.
Okay.
So I get to be in charge with my colleague, Mary Ev Gerard.
Well, thanks for joining us on Sunday Morning. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Thank you very much for having us. And it was a pleasure.